Right. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You can stay seated. Ephesians 6, we're going to read verses 12 through 19 together responsively. Then I'll pray and the choir is going to sing this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verses 12 through verse 19 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 19. Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 19. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. We love you. God, I pray that you'd help us today. Help us as we take just a small portion of the Bible today. Use it to help us to be a bit more of what you want us to be. May we please you with each and everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a lot said in religion, Christianity. It doesn't matter what denomination, about the armor of God. You go into what they call a Christian bookstore these days, and you'll see all kinds of things about the armor of God. You'll see a little suit of armor, and they have things pointed out on it, and all kinds of different things. There's been volumes of books written about the armor of God. There have been countless Bible studies and Wednesday night Bible studies and college classes taught on the armor of God. Many Christians know about the components about them, but few Christians have any knowledge how to use any of it. They've been polished up, sitting as display models, but when they need it, they have no idea what it's for. Let me say it this way. God didn't give us and does not want us to have the armor of God for a museum display. It's a tool to use for battle. You know, if you go to basic training in the military, they don't show you pictures of a gun and all the different components. They give you a weapon and you have to tear it apart and put it back together, and you got to clean it every day until you can do it blindfolded, because your gun, your weapon, is your best friend. It's going to save your life. It's not just something that you know what the parts are. You don't just know where they go or what they do. Not only can you put it together and tear it apart, but you can also put the bullet in there and fire the weapon and hit what you're aiming at. The purpose of it is for you to be able to stop the enemy, not to say, I know everything there is to know about it. David was a man after God's own heart, and David was a warrior. Can I tell you something? God has the heart of a warrior. Let me say that again. God has the heart of a warrior, not a wimp. This means... by the way, it doesn't mean a warrior is not a bully going around picking on everybody. Everybody has this idea that if you're a warrior, that you go around picking on everybody just to show how powerful you are. That's called being a bully. God's not a bully. God's a warrior. A warrior means that he doesn't like to fight, but when he's forced to fight, A, he knows how to, B, he knows how to win. A warrior fights to defend, not to conquest. God doesn't fight just to show what power he has. He fights to win for a cause. One of the most well-known and probably one of the greatest warriors of World War II was a man named General George Patton. he was not a politician, but he was a warrior. His motto was, any soldier that has a gun that's not firing is disloyal. If you have a weapon in your hand, you better be pulling the trigger, because somebody's relying on you. Somebody once said to General Patton, he said, you know, these men that die are heroes for their country. And he got up in front of the Third Army and he said, I don't want any heroes then. He said, I don't want you to go home a hero in a box. I want you sending the enemy home in boxes and let them be heroes for their country. Yeah. That's the heart of a warrior. I enjoy that kind of mentality of attack. Go forward. We don't like the fight, but let's fight the fight and get it over with so we can go on and have peace. God tells us here in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God. I want you to notice something. Look at it again. Verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. There is a reason God wants you to put on the whole armor of God. Because he wants you to be able to stand or withstand in the evil day. Can I tell you something? The evil day will come in your life. There is coming a day, or many days, there's coming a season that will be an evil day for you. There have been many of those in my life in the past. There are many more yet coming. Life is a series of these evil days. And God says, I want you to put on the armor of God so that you can withstand in those evil days. God wants you to be able to make it and take it when the worst of the battles come. Now, I want you to notice something. Evil and sin are not the same. It doesn't say when sin happens, it says when evil happens. Evil is a plan to destroy someone. Evil is a premeditated and usually more than one person going against someone else. If I walked over and slapped Brother Stoltz and did something mean to him, okay, that's sinful. But if I got Greg and said, Greg, let's trip up Brother Stoltz. Let's make sure that he can't walk the rest of his life. And let's go around telling everybody how bad Brother Stoltz is. Did you hear what he did? Now let's go tell him. That's evil. Gossip is evil. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's a trespass. It's going over a line you should not go. But when you're trying to destroy someone, you've crossed from sin to evil. Evil is much worse than sin. Not all sin is evil, but all evil is sin. Everybody understand that? You could lie, that's sinful. Lying doesn't necessarily destroy anybody else, just hurts you. But when you run your big fat mouth and tell about somebody else's sin and want to destroy somebody, want to hurt somebody, that's evil, and God says that's worse.
Yes, sir.
When you try to attack somebody and destroy their character, destroy their reputation, that is evil. Everybody doing all right? Now, God tells us in Ephesians 6 that he wants us to put on the whole armor of God. I want you to notice something. God didn't say study it. God didn't say polish it. God didn't say find out what each piece is so that you're an expert at knowing the facts about what that is. God says, I want you to put it on. Why does he want you to put it on? Because he wants you to use it. God wants us to use the whole armor of God. We're not supposed to be modeling it. We're supposed to be practiced up with it and ready for battle. Amen. You could say that the armor of God then is our insurance policy, so to speak. It's there when you need it. It's not, and I hate to say this, God doesn't say if the evil day comes. He said when the evil day comes. God didn't say that it might come, so you might want to be prepared. He said, it is coming. When it comes, you need to have that on, ready, practiced up, and ready to battle. It is coming. Now, today, I want to focus on the armor in light of the fact that the evil day is coming in your life. Can I tell you something? Everybody in this room, whether you're young, middle-aged, or AARP. I used it for the first time. I got $10 off on a hotel room tomorrow night. Amen, Brother June? Just about paid for it. All right. Man, is that a sickening feeling. Oh, my soul. You talk about a hit to your pride. That'll do it in a hurry. Now, wait a minute. You say, but why'd you do it? Because it saved me $10. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I want to preach today in light of the fact that the evil day is coming. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager, doesn't matter if you're in your early years, your middle years, or your late years, the evil day is coming. If it hasn't already come, there's another one coming, hang on. It's about like the waves in the ocean. If you missed one, just stand there a while, another one's coming. And may I say this, God wants us to be protected, and God wants you to make it through the evil day. Let me say that again. God wants you protected, and God wants you making it through the evil day. Now, don't get mad at me. I know how Christians think. Well, why does God let the evil day come then? Because you're a rotten sinner like everybody else. We're all sinners. And even if you weren't a sinner, the evil day is coming. It came to Jesus, and he never sinned. Because everybody around you are sinners. So evil will come to everyone. It came to the Son of God. What makes you think you're exempt? You know, it always amazes me that Christians think that once you get saved, there should never, ever be a problem in a Christian's life. Can I tell you something? That's about as humanistic a philosophy as you can get. That's you wanting to play God. God does not dictate life. He plans it and lets our sin and evil play out because that's what man chose. God can't move evil and sin around for one and not for the other and still be just. Now, listen to me very carefully here. But God did say, I'll provide armor for you and I'll make it to where you can stand when that evil day comes. I'll make it to where you can withstand the evil, and I'll make sure that you make it through the evil. Now, may I say this? We don't need to examine the armor. We need basic training in the armor. We don't need to polish the armor. We need to be able to use the armor God gave us. We ought not be displaying our armor. We ought to be practicing in our armor. Can I tell you something? Here's the bad part of the evil day. Malachi, you don't know when it's coming.
Right.
You have no idea. Brian, you have no idea when the evil day is going to come up and slap you in the backside of the head. That's the problem with the evil day. You don't know when it's coming. That means you better get ready for when it does come. My family has helped me. My son Jeff and I are going on an elk hunt in late October. I'm going to southwestern Montana and into Butte and from there up a little higher. I'm going to be hunting anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 feet in elevation. How many of you have ever been at elevation? Okay, the air is very thin. Walking can become laborious if you're not used to the altitude. The air gets really, really, really thin. So this fat old preacher has lost about 25 pounds, gotten my heart in shape, gotten my breathing in shape, and trying to get myself in physical shape to pack out and track 6-7 miles every day for a week or so up in that kind of country, and I've been preparing for it. I decided in January, I was told in December about it, I decided in January, I've got about 9 or 10 months, I better take all 9 or 10 months and get ready. You say, why? Because I was not in shape in January to do what I'm about to have to do. Just this week, I started with some of my strength training, and I got my backpack and put 40 pounds in my backpack, put my hunting boots on, and I went for a mile walk up and down the hill in my neighborhood. If you've never seen that hill, it's about a 15-18% grade, and it's about half a mile long hill. It's real exciting going down, but coming up is enough to make you believe in the tribulation. But I was pleased. I've been working myself up. I walked all the way down, walked all the way back. Took me 12 minutes to walk a mile, and I was hardly out of breath by the time I got back. Now, I had to sit on my desk and wiggle out of the 40-pound backpack, but I got out of it, amen? You say, what's going to happen? Eventually, I'll have about 70 or 80 pounds doing that before I leave. Say, why? Because when you pack out, you're going to have to pack out 80, 90 pounds of meat at a time. Make lots of trips because elk aren't real small. And you got to be able to do it. Now, I say that. You say, why? Because when I get there, I told my wife, I told my children, I don't want to be this fat old man out of shape dying on the side of a mountain. I can't change the old, but I can change the fat and out of shape part. I'm to the point where I almost have to buy a new belt. I'm on the last hole, and needing to make another hole. And I've whittled down about 3 or 4 inches on the waist, and I'm making it, but I'm getting ready. I'm getting my equipment ready. I've got my backpack. I got my I got a new sling for my gun, and got some other equipment and things. And gonna get my gun sighted here, but you can't sight it in here and it be on at altitude. So I've kind of done a little process of elimination and got it to where it'll be close for where we'll be hunting. There's as much difference as 4 to 6 inches on drag on a bullet at altitude. So if I set my yardage for 100 here at 200 yards, my OT-6 ought to be just fine at altitude, but we'll find out when we get there. We'll get there and touch them off and different things, but you say, what are you doing? Because when I get there, and if I'm going to walk all that way up a mountain more than once, and if I see a big enough elk out there, I'm going to pull the trigger and drop that puppy. I didn't go through all of this just to sit there and say, boy, isn't this a beautiful walk? Ah, we'll let that one go. Mm-mm, Fitz Brown is down. I'm planning on that, amen? We're going to have a men's activity when I get back. It's going to be an elk feast, amen? Glory to God. Yeah, buddy. Now, you say, what are you doing? I'm getting ready for it because, by the way, it's taken me a while to get ready for it. I even went to the doctor to make sure I was in good enough shape to go hunt at elevation. You say, why? Because I really didn't plan on leaving my wife a widow. I wanted to make sure. Now, everything's fine. My EKG was perfect. My blood pressure's perfect. She said, I can't believe everything you're going through. You don't have high blood pressure. I said, I don't get high blood pressure. I give it. She said, but you have a stressful job. I said, yeah, it's stressful, putting stress on everybody. And joking around, and she said, you're just different. I said, I've been called worse. Now, wait a minute. The evil day is going to come. The battle is going to come. The problem is you don't know when it's coming. You have no idea when the battle will come. That means this. You must be trained. You must be ready. You must know how to use and have practiced in it to know what to do. My armor may not be shiny and spotless, but I promise you one thing. When the evil comes, this preacher's going to know how to wear it and how to use it. Yes. My armor's got some chinks in it. You say, why? I've taken some shots. But guess what? Each one of those reminds me God protected me. You say, well, it's got a ding here and it's got a ding there. Yeah. That means God was protecting me while I was fighting. God enabled me to withstand, and he'll do the same for you. Just having your armor will not bring victory. Knowing how to use and wearing it will bring the victory. Say that again. just having it will not guarantee your victory. Let's look at this armor very quickly, and let me help you today. Number one, you need to know how to use your own armor. You need to know how to use your own armor. Did you know that, let's see here, Brother Brian, can you stand up for a second? Did you know that Brother Brian's armor isn't going to fit me? And God knows mine's not going to fit him. He'll get his leg in my waist. Amen? You say, well, why? Because his armor is different than my armor, size-wise. What he needs is different than mine. He couldn't get my coat on one arm, probably. By the way, I could take 3 steps in his before I moved it. But it doesn't mean anything. We can both have the same armor. Amen? You can have a seat. I didn't mean to embarrass you, Brother Brian. Now, listen to me very carefully. Knowing what each tool in the toolbox may be good, but if you don't know how to use it, where to use it, what to use it on, and when to use it, what good is it? Let me say that. If you went to my dad's house and went into his basement where his tool room is, my dad has more tools than any 10 human beings I know. And he's gotten rid of a lot of them. He knows where every tool is. He knows what every one of them does. He say, do you? Yeah, if it's about that long and it's metal, I can use it to pry with. Doesn't matter to me. Not to him? Mm-mm. You say, what do you do? That's why I don't borrow his tools. Unless I know exactly what I'm doing with it. He was in Florida last year and I needed something. He said, are you at the house? Yes. Go in the basement. I'm there. Okay, go to this toolbox. Go down this many drawers. Open it up. Should be in here. I mean, he knew exactly where it was. I won't need that many tools in 3 lifetimes. He does. He knows how to use them all, when to use them all, what to use them all for. Good Lord, not me. Say, what do you need? 1-800-DAD-HELP. Dad, I need help. Can you fix this? Yeah. You ought to see him when he brings his little red toolbox. If you've ever seen my dad's red toolbox, he can cram more tools in one little box than any human being I've ever seen. I'd get about half of what he has, and I'd have to drive back to my house and get the other half because I'd forget something. He's got everything possible that it could be. Doesn't matter what project he's working on. You say, why? Because he's used those tools for his whole life. He knows what those tools are. I can name a lot of them. I can even tell you what most of them are supposed to be used for. Doesn't mean I'd use them for that, but I could tell you what a lot of them could be used for, but don't make me do it. If your car's broken down, don't call me. I can't help you unless you need a ride. I can tell you what mechanics to call, but you don't want me doing it. Definitely don't call me if you have an electrical issue. I'm not touching it. I don't touch wires. Amen? Colorblind people don't touch electricity. Matter of fact, they don't touch any kind of wire. I don't even like buying wire at the store. I hate it so bad. Now, wait a minute. You say, why? Because God didn't harness my brain mechanically. But I know this. When the evil day comes, I'll be prepared for what comes my way. You know, I'm going to make a statement. Christianity has book learned soldiers for the spiritual army real well, but they have no practical experience. Christianity has book-learned people, but they don't know how to fight. Did you know if you went to the military and spent 8 weeks in basic training and all you did was sit in a classroom reading a book, you would have no idea how to fight? You'd have the concept. You say, well, I read it in a book. Did you ever work for a boss that came right out of school that all he ever did was read a book? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, those are wonderful people to work with. Well, I'm so tired of book people. They're named engineers. If it's not on a piece of paper, they can't think. Now, there comes to a point in time where there's some practicality to life here. And you got to be able to use it. You know, there's only so many things that you can learn in a book, and then you have to see the whole thing put together in a working process. It always amazes me, many of the auto engineers don't know how to work on a car, but they can design them. That's why you got to take it to a mechanic and have them jack the engine up to pull a spark plug out, because the engineer didn't know what he was doing. You say, why? Because he's never worked on a car one day of his life. But it's got to go there. It might got to go there, but you got to move something else in the process. Now, basic training is practice for war. It's learning how to react by instinct under pressure and under confusion. Can I tell you something? When the evil day comes, it's going to be confusing. When battle comes, it's going to be a lot of noise, a lot of confusion, and a lot of pressure. How many of you have ever seen or been through basic training, and these drill instructors get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start kicking trash cans in the bunkhouse, getting guys up, screaming and hollering and yelling and trying to put some pressure on them? You ever wonder why a drill instructor is always in a guy's face, screaming and hollering at him and stuff? He's trying to get him to learn to react under pressure, because when battle is happening, you better know instinctively how to react. It's not just a show. It's not just a scream and holler at somebody. The pressure of war and the confusion of war is real, and they simulate it in those situations. When the battle comes and the evil day comes, listen to the preacher for a second here. I can promise you one thing, you're going to be overwhelmed. I can promise you it's going to be confusing. When the news comes, there's a death that you weren't expecting. Everybody gets real rattled. The pressure begins to fall. And then you're dealing with all of the legalities and dealing with all the finances and dealing with all the arrangements. And oh my soul, everything starts going haywire. I wasn't ready for this. And when the evil day comes, it's going to happen. Wait till you're attacked. I'm not saying it's an evil day when you walk through the store and somebody thumbed their nose at you and turned around and walked away. Usually that's just a regular day. That's not an evil day. Well, somebody said something mean about me. Aw, come here, let me burp you too. That's not an evil day, but you wait till you're actually attacked. And when you're attacked, that confusion begins to take place. When the evil day comes, you need to already know how to use your armor, not just have an understanding of what it is. Folks, I graduated from Bible college, none of your business how long ago, 28 plus years ago, 29 years ago, I guess, I don't know. Along almost 30 years ago. But may I say this, when I went to Bible college, I wasn't just getting book knowledge. I was preaching 3-4 times a week. I was working on bus routes, Bible clubs, Sunday schools, junior teen churches. I was preaching. I was using what I was learning. When I left college and my wife and I left to go into the ministry, I just got to do full-time what I had been doing in training part-time. That was the only difference. I've been using this my whole adult life. I know what to do when the pressure comes. I know how to roll with the punches as the evil day approaches. Say why? Because I learned a long time ago, my armor is not just to sit in the corner and say, look how shiny and pretty my armor is. Man, mine's battle tested. Mine's got knots and dings and chinks in it, and it's taken some pretty good shots. I've had to punch some of it back out so I could get back in it because I got hit so hard. And it's, but I'm comfortable in it, and I know how to use it. So when the evil day comes, I'm already ready. I don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if I'll be ready. I'm ready. Here it comes. Here it comes. So, number one, you need to know how to use your armor. May I say this very carefully? You must do it all yourself. You can't expect somebody else to do it for you. Young people, mommy and daddy can't fight all your battles. Mommy and daddy, you can't fight all your kids' battles. Sorry. Wednesday morning, my son called me. Dad, I think you need to know. Ruthane just lost another baby at 10 weeks yesterday. Oh, son. I'll be honest with you. I take pressure pretty well. But that was a kick in the gut. You say, why? Because I couldn't go to Miami and put my arms around them both and hug them and say it's going to be all right. I said, have you talked to your preacher? Yeah, Dad, thank God for the preacher. He's helping us, and what a blessing. I said, what can I do? And he said, nothing yet. He said, I haven't told Ruth Ann that I've told you yet. He said, just wait. I preached Wednesday night. You'd never know. I knew. But I couldn't say anything. I couldn't even tell my folks till yesterday. You say, what happened? My heart hurt because I couldn't help them. The worst part of the pain was there's nothing I can do. You think parenting little ones is tough? Wait till they grow up and be adults. Parenting adult children is harder because they got adult problems. Say, were you discouraged? No. God's getting ready to use them. My wife was, and I were talking about it the other day. She said, well, maybe God just saved Ruth Ann from having another Josh. And we started laughing. I said, that could very well be. I don't know. Now, wait a minute. She's been around me way too long. Can you tell? I didn't say it. She did. I promise you. I can't tell you I didn't think it. But now, wait a minute. The evil day is coming. But that wasn't the evil day. That's training. The loss of a baby like that is not the evil day. That's preparation time. The evil day is when somebody's attacking. The evil day is when somebody's trying to destroy. That's the evil day. Number two, we need to be skillfully trained in using our armor. Can I tell you something? You need to train in your armor. You need to train in your armor. Brother Mike, I've been shooting the gun that I'm going to take to Montana to hunt with. You say, why? Because I've got to be ready for it. I'm getting ready to burn a lot of rounds through it. You say, why? Because when the pressure's on and I'm huffing and puffing after chasing a stupid elk, I may be able to pull the trigger. The other day, I took a walk with the very backpack I'm taking. I put 40 pounds of weight in it, and I wore my hunting boots. Now, I'm sure walking through the neighborhood, there are people saying, it's 100 degrees out. What's that kook doing? Well, I might look like a kook in 100 degrees with the very stuff I'm wearing, but when I get there, I'm going to be ready. You say, why? I plan on breaking my boots in before I get there. I don't want sore feet on the side of a mountain. I've already planned on, putting weight in that pack so I know how it feels. I know what to expect, and I know what I'm doing, what I'm carrying, and I want to be ready for it with the very equipment so that when the pressure's on, I don't have to wonder, I wonder if this is going to work. You sight your gun in, not hoping that you're going to hit the target. If I pull that trigger, I want to make sure I'm going to hit the target. I don't want to wound an animal. I want to be able to drop it. And you've got to be training in the right equipment. Can I say something to you? How can you go through your Christian life and never train with your armor? No wonder so many Christians fall out. No wonder so many Christians fall by the wayside when the pressure comes. They've never trained with their equipment on.
Well, I know what it is. It's just not fair. I got to go through this.
God told you it's coming.
You need to train in your armor. You need battle type opposition to get you ready for battle.
Do you think I enjoy putting 40 and 50 pounds on my back, walking with a backpack in this kind of heat? There is not one enjoyable part of that, Brother Stoltz. I've got a 20-pound weight vest that I've been mowing my grass with. But I got a bagger, Brother June. You know, every time you bend down and pick that up, you got 20 extra pounds. Man, I've lost 25 pounds thinking, God have mercy, I'll never gain those 25 pounds again because I know what 20 pounds feels like now. But you say, what are you doing? I'm trying to get myself strong enough to where when I'm there, I'm not trying to catch up with a 22-year-old kid running through the mountains. I'm going to leave the young buck in the dust, amen? Probably not, but I've told him I'm bringing a 1-inch thick rope that's about 40 foot long. That's all I'm bringing. He said, what for? I said, so you can drag my elk out. Hook you up and yah! Wait a minute. You need battle-type opposition to get you ready for the battle. The training is not the battle. Let me say that again. The training is not the battle. It prepares you for what you will face in the battle. So many Christians avoid their training. They think their training is the battle. Any of you that were in the military, you got the I almost said a word I shouldn't there. It's probably not a nice word. But you got the whiny babies and the wimps that after the first week of basic training, they're ready to call home to mommy and go home. In the old days, they didn't let you call home to mommy and go home. Can I tell you why? Because they wanted to toughen you up and get you ready for battle. Well, my drill instructor, he's the meanest person in the whole world. Yeah, and when you get to the battlefield, you'll thank God for him too. First day of boot camp, they'll tell you, I'm your worst enemy right now, but I'll be your best friend if you go to battle. That man knows what it takes to get you ready for what's coming in the battle. Can I tell you something? College is basic training. Isn't it amazing how many college students know how to change the whole world and haven't built a popsicle stand yet? I was one of them 30 years ago. I know what it's like. There's nobody so smart as a college freshman. And yet so stupid at the same time. They want to reinvent the wheel. And then they come to find out that the wheel should be round. College is that training time. It's intense training. High school is intense training, not as intense, but it's to get you ready for real life when it comes. No, you're probably not going to use a ton of algebra or geometry or trigonometry. No, you might not even use a ton of chemistry or anything like that, depending on what field of study you go into. But may I say this, y'all know it. Yes. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Didn't make any sense to me when I was your age either, but I learned it. Yes. And I thank God I did. Now, I have not had to do X, Y, Z, and N, and all that kind of stuff, but I have overseen tens of millions of dollars of budgets in the last 30 years. I'll promise you, I thank God I had a pretty good understanding of science and physiology. As much time as I've spent in hospitals, I understand some things about chemistry. I'm not a medical doctor, but I got a pretty good grip on it. I got a general idea. I'm not as good as many. Trust me, I don't claim to be a professional. But may I say this, I'm glad I paid attention. I understand it. When Miss Wally was having trouble with her foot, I said, you got a problem. I told her what it was. She said, you saw that? I said, I saw that. All she did was fall down and bust her nose open on the pole out here. That's why she ended up with surgery. She had to put her foot out of her nose. But I saw what took place and I understood the physiology behind it. I said, you got a problem. It was very simple to me, but I understood it. Now, may I say something? How you train determines how you'll perform in the battle. I'm going to very quickly run through these five different pieces of armor, and then I'm going to finish the sermon very quickly here. How do you prepare? Number one, Bible says that you prepare with truth. Look at verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Wow. Your loins, your strength ought to be truth. Can I tell you something? Learn truth. Yes. Study truth. Memorize truth. By the way, thy word is truth, O Lord. Amen. We need to fill our lives with truth. Hollywood is a lie. The news media is a lie in more ways than one. We fill our brains with too much non-truth. There is nothing sinful necessarily about reading fiction books. But this preacher doesn't read any fiction books. None. Zero. Say why? I need to fill my brain with truth, not with non-truth. I don't read anything that's not a biography or a truthful, informative type book. I just don't read any non-truth book. There's nothing necessarily sinful. By the way, there's sinful truth out there that you shouldn't read too. There's sinful fiction out there that you shouldn't read, like Harry Potter. Okay. You need to understand truth. You shouldn't live for what was or what will be or what if. How about you live in what is? You can't change what was. You can't change what if. But you can change what is. Too many people living in the rearview mirror. Yes. Too many people living in the land of regret. God says live in the land of truth. I can't change what happened this week with Josh and Ruth Ann. But I can say, let's go forward. I can't change the truth of what happened. But I can get them through. Yes. Sure is wonderful when day or two later, he said, Dad, God's grace is sufficient. We're doing okay. Thank God he learned the truth, for when the training was there, he understood how to use that truth. You know, that's why you're not supposed to gossip. That's why you're not supposed to listen to gossip. If somebody starts talking negative about somebody, you have my permission. Just tell them to shut up. I don't listen to it. You ought to tell them, shut up. Did you know gossip is two ways? There's a teller and there's a listener. If you're telling it, you're wrong. If you're listening to it, you're wrong. I don't listen to preachers' gossip. I've hung up on preachers. I've walked away from them because all they want to do is run their mouth negative about their own people. I don't want to hear it. I just don't listen to it. Everybody doing all right? May I say this? Tell the truth to yourself. You know, the easiest person in the world to lie to is yourself. Oh, I can do this and get away with it. Oh, this won't hurt me. Or as the West Virginian said, watch this, y'all. Famous last words. Can I tell you something? It's so easy to lie to yourself. Can I tell you something? Tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Well, I'm better than that. No, you're not. You're a dirty, wicked, rotten, filthy, no good scum of the earth sinner like the rest of us. Amen. So we need to train in truth. Number two, Bible says put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteous means living right. And once you notice where it's at, breastplate, heart. How you live has to be a matter of the heart. Everybody, listen to this statement. You find out what you are in the dark or when you're old enough not to have to obey anybody. We'll find out what you are.
That's true.
Young people, listen to me. You're struggling knowing what's right and what's wrong. Can I tell you something? If it's in the Word of God and it's truth, it's right. Don't you worry about somebody else that's living the wrong way. And we'll find out what you're made out of when you've got to live it yourself. When mommy and daddy aren't there to force you to live it, You find out what you are. You go to college or you get out into the world and start working and you don't listen to the rock music because everybody else listens to it. You don't party the way the world parties. You live right in spite of what everybody around you doing. What are you doing around those kind of people anyway? Everybody doing all right? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. You say, well, what's right living the way Jesus lived? He lived our righteousness for us. It's a matter of wanting to live right, not just being forced to. My mom and dad sit back there. They've been married since Noah got off the ark. 55, almost 56 years. Can I tell you something? I'm 50 years old. My mommy and daddy don't tell me what to do. And don't take this the wrong way. I don't have to obey my daddy. I'm supposed to honor him, and I'll do my best to do that. But if he and I disagree on something, God doesn't hold me accountable for obeying my daddy. Everybody doing all right? I'm supposed to live right, whether my daddy wants me to or not. Did you hear that? If you live in a home where your dad is an evil person and hates God, you're supposed to live right whether he wants you to or not. I think of the story of Dr. Jack Hiles. His dad was a neighborhood drunk, divorced his mom during the Depression. Mom lived in poverty. 12 years old, Brother Hiles surrendered to preach, told his dad, and his dad backhanded him out in the middle of the street. Standing over his body after he'd been hit and kicked by his own father, his dad started to cuss him out and said, "You blankety, 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 blank son of mine, if God called you to preach, go out and build the world's blankety, blank biggest church." Well, 30-some years later, First Baptist Church Hammond, Indiana became the world's largest Sunday school. Yes. If he had a drunken, unsaved father, guess what? God still used him. Amen. Because you obey truth. Learning to obey right because it's right to do. That's called keeping the speed limit whether or not you see a police officer or not.
Amen. Ouch.
Boy, that one got down there deep and hard. Doing right when you're not forced to do right. Preacher, everything was going fine until you said that. Next, preparation of the gospel. That's soul winning. You need to live with truth. You need to live right because it's a matter of your heart. And by the way, doing it because it's right and because you should want to do it, not just because you're forced to, but parents force them to do it whether they want to do it or not, as long as they're under your roof. Then the preparation of the gospel, that's soul winning. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is the best practice for evil attack as you can get. Can I tell you why people don't like to go soul winning? Because you don't like people opposing you. The average Christian doesn't want to be rejected. The average person doesn't want to be rejected. Well, somebody might tell me no. They're not telling you no, they're telling God no. Somebody might be mean to me. I've had guns pulled on me. I've had dogs let loose. I've had people unscrewed dogs and let them come right through the screen door. Amen, Brother Stoltz. And you say, what do you do? Just kick Brother Stoltz in the knee and run faster than him. That's all you got to do. kick your friend and make him roll around and you can get out of the yard. Amen. I've been chased by dogs to where I had snot marks on the back of my shoes from being chased by them before I got over the fence. I've had people threaten me. I've had the police called on me. Out soul winning. You say, I can't believe all that, preacher. Oh, it's gotten worse. Trust me. Can I tell you something? I don't do it because it's comfortable. I do it because it's a command of God. And God said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you're taking the gospel to somebody else. Don't sit on your blessed assurance doing nothing. Take the Bible out and show somebody how to get saved. That's what it's all about. That's called getting ready for battle. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Number four, Bible says, in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. That's learning how to quench the fiery darts of doubt.
That's learning how to take the, learning how to quench the fiery darts of, oh, you can't do that. Brother Stoltz, you were there. We were in college together, and I better not name the city. But I could name the town. Some of our college students were out soul winning, and they got the police called on them, and they took them to jail. And they called the church, and Brother Hiles went down and bailed them out of jail and threw a fit. Well, the mayor called Brother Hiles' office and said, any more of your people from your church caught knocking on doors in my town, they're all going to jail. Brother Hiles said, good. He said, I'll have 4,000 people in your city next week knocking on doors. Hope you have a good-sized jail. We took 4,000 soul winners to that town and went soul winning. They said, just be careful. Remember that, Brother Stoltz? We were there, amen? I knocked on doors. Say, what was that? You can't do that kind of stuff in America. Well, at least back then you couldn't. You know, faith is learning how to quench those fiery darts of opposition. Quenching the dart of despair. Well, I'm just so down. I'm just so discouraged. I'm just so depressed. I am so tired of Christians being depressed. It bothers me. You have nothing to be depressed about if your sins are forgiven. You have a home in heaven. Your sin's been washed away. And your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You miss hell. You're going to heaven. What in God's name are you depressed about?
Amen. Well, it's just so hard down here. Do you know there's lost people facing worse than you?
That's right.
Faith. Faith isn't this... rub the bottle and the genie pops out and gives you whatever you want. Oh, God, I want a brand new car. Oh, I'm not happy you didn't give me the one I wanted. Faith isn't this power of positive thinking. Oh, I believe God can. I believe God can. I believe God can. Sound like a bunch of charismatics. Faith is doing everything you can do and letting God take care of what you cannot do. We have gone as far as we can go. I'm going a little farther with our building project, but we've got the faith that God's going to take care of the rest. Amen. Say how? That's his problem, not mine. It's his house, not mine. Amen. We're doing everything he said do. We'll let him take care of the details we can't take care of. That's living by faith. And lastly, the Word of God. It says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can I tell you something? You will not be ready for battle if you don't know that book right there. Not just have the book, you know the book. Read the book every day of your life. Can I tell you something? We have some of the most weak Christians in our country, and we have more copies of the Word of God than any nation under the face of the earth. Wait till you go to a country that has never seen a copy of the Word of God. I've been in Mexico and in villages where they have never seen a copy of the Word of God. I've gone down the highways of Mexico and you'd pass somebody and drop gospel tracts out and people will run over and pick them up and sit down on the side of the road and read them. They don't walk on them. They don't look down and say, church, and throw it away. I've handed out gospel tracts in villages where there's never been a white person before in Mexico. And people, you give them a gospel tract and all of a sudden people are grabbing everybody in the village and bringing them to you to get one of those pieces of paper. That'll break your heart. Can I tell you something? According to the armor, that's your only weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the only weapon with your armor. You better know that weapon. In the military, your weapon is the most important thing. I've heard men tell in boot camp and different things, if their gun was inspected and it wasn't clean, that they had to redo it. And at night, their gun slept on the bed while they slept on the floor where the gun usually rested. You say, why? Because that gun was going to be their life in battle.
You need to read the Bible. You need to memorize the Bible. You need to hear the Word of God preached. You need to love the Word of God. You need to be at church hearing the Word of God taught and preached every chance you get. Amen. The Word of God is your offensive weapon when you need it most. I promise you. There are days I would like to react in my flesh. And I say, oh God, control my thinking, control my mouth. May I use your words to do the battle for me. Say, preacher, how do you put up with some of these people? I use the Word of God, not my brain and not my words. I might have to call Brother Mike and have him say a few and let me sign them. Now, wait a minute. You can't rely on somebody else's knowledge of the Bible. You've got to have it. Husbands, you can't rely on your wife's spirituality. You have to be spiritual. Young people, you can't rely on a parent's spirituality. You personally must be spiritual. Parents, you can't rely on your children's spirituality. You have to be spiritual. I'm not against family devotions, but if that's the only time you read the Bible, you're a pretty weak Christian. Ouch. Lastly, and I'm done. The opposition, this training is for the evil day. The opposition you're in now is not evil, it's training. Opposition is not all evil. Sometimes it's training, getting you ready for the big battle. May I say this? Three times in that passage, God says, withstand. Having done all, stand. Stand therefore. You better practice taking some shots. Years ago, I used to do some boxing just to stay in shape. I'd work out 3 days a week and box three-minute rounds with one of the other assistant pastors. We did not do headshots. Say why? Because if I got hit in the head, I couldn't guarantee I was going to keep my cool. I said, no headshots. I'm one of those people, you hit me in the head, it takes me too much control. And if I'm in a ring and somebody beating on my head, I don't know that I could control myself. So I said, let's not do headshots, just body shots. I just want to stay in shape. We're not trying to kill each other. But I had to learn how to take a shot. And you get in a ring with another guy that weighs 15, 20, 25 pounds more than you and been boxing for 30 years, you got to learn to take a couple good shots. Yes. But after a while, you learn how to take them. It's not so bad. Then you learn how to give a few shots, and it's even better. I remember one day Roy and I were boxing in the basement. It was about 6 o'clock one morning. We'd both worked out for about a half hour. We're in round two, and all of a sudden he kind of pulled up a little bit, and when he pulled up, I came up with an uppercut right, and I hit him right here. And all of a sudden, he was on his knees. I mean, he just went boom, fell right down on his knees. And I thought, uh-oh. I said, Roy, you all right? He said, Brother Bush, hang on. I said, what's the matter? He said, hang on. I said, all right. I said, do you need help up? No, let me just get my breath. He stood back up. He said, I've been boxing for 32 years. He said, it's the first time anybody's ever put me on my knees. Now, we had flak jackets on and loin belts and stuff. I mean, we weren't just... He said, don't you ever hit anybody with that right hand unless you really mean to do business. He said, I have never been knocked down. He said, that's a first. He said, that's the most unusual feeling I've ever had. He said, I can't tell you that it hurt real bad, but all of a sudden I was on my knees. He said, don't do that again. Sorry, I thought that was the goal, you know. He said, no, I'm your friend. Now, wait a minute. We were just sparring around, having fun, just boxing a little bit. He was a far better boxer than I. He was left-handed. He got my left hand stronger by trying to defend a left-hander, and I had to fight left-handed for a while to learn how to defense that. And may I say this, we got stronger in the process. May I tell you, 3 minutes of boxing is an eternity the first time you ever do that. Then you got to go two more rounds. You're thinking, oh, 3 minutes, that's not very long. You let somebody beat on you for 3 minutes and find out what it feels like. Now, wait a minute. You're going to have to wait for the evil day, but you're going to have to learn how to stand. There were days I was really tired and I didn't feel like boxing. Say, what'd you do? Just covered up and let him beat on me for a while and just took the shots. But I got through all three rounds. Evil days come, but if you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to stand. If you only have polished armor and have never used it, and you don't know how to use it, don't know when to use it, and don't have never trained in it, you're not going to stand. Ecclesiastes 12:1, now remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, that when the evil day comes, when the evil day comes. Now watch this. The earlier you learn it in life, the better off you are. Young people, if you'll listen to what the preacher said today, he can save you a lot of heartache and grief along the road. He can save you a lot of failure along the road. Save you a lot of fear along the road. I don't care if you're just brand new to it and you're middle-aged or older. Can I tell you something? Start learning it. Start using it. But the earlier you use it, the more success you'll have in your life. I believe that. By the way, the earlier you use it, the more evil you're going to be able to endure. And the more evil you endure, I hate to tell you this, the bigger the attacks are going to be later. You find out what you are in the dark when no one's watching. So the sooner you live this way, the more confident you can be in the evil day. The more confident you're going to be to say, I can take this. I can make this. I'll get through this. Hey, Grace Baptist Church, we're going to stand. We're going to make it. Can tell you why I've been through the evil day. It's all right. I know how to stand. Stand with the armor on. You put your armor on and help us stand through this. Get yourself with your armor on. Put it on. Learn how to use it. Train in it. So when the evil day comes, you're ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That means we need to be out soul winning. That means we need to be in our Bibles. That means we need to be living righteous and living right. Say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. I personally needed it. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens of hands.